Bob this evening. The single is number 916. 13, hymn number 174. without letter, tongue, or forefathers. Thus chosen of God and precious. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and the letter, tongue, or forefathers. One will read the forefathers, to whom come, as unto a living soul. This allowed indeed of me, but chosen of God and precious. And the Holy Spirit here is speaking, of course, of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my dear friends, if God the Holy Spirit hath brought you into concern about your soul, if he hath taught you to know and to feel that you in God's holy sight is a sinner, if you have known the pride of your own heart, if there have been begun a work of grace, you will want to know. You'll feel the malady, but you'll want to know the blessed and only remedy for the malady. And you who have known what it is to be brought under conviction of sin, some to a deeper degree than others, the Lord is sovereign in this matter. But if the Lord has begun to deal with you, and doubtless some of you the Lord has dealt with for many years, but there will be one thing from time to time that will be longed after and most desirable above all other things, and that is to have some gracious assurance, and that by precious faith, that you have interest savingly and experimentally in the person and work and love and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have never known anything of the sinfulness of sin, if you have never been brought to know that you are sinners in God's sight, and that the wages of sin is death, what one may be led to speak this night will not be vital and all important to you. But if you have, as the Spirit of God applies the word of eternal truth, your desire will be towards his name. It will. And so the Holy Spirit here speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as chosen of God. And now he is the Son of God eternally, the Son of God in truth and love. And none other could bear the weight of imputed sin, the awful load of sin that was laid upon him. And as here Mr. Hart so rightly says, with strength enough and none to save. And indeed, that in the counsels of eternity, he was chosen of God, to be the sinner's representative, the sinner's sacrifice, the sinner's all in all. He was, my dear friend, in the counsels of Jehovah, he was needed much indeed, there to stand a mighty lover in and for his dear people to plead. And he was set up, as he speaks himself in the voice of prophecy, from everlasting. He was. And all those tremendous words, all the
feel a little inclined of that vital, important, and sacred and blessed truth when he says, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." And of course he means his coming into the world. That's what he means here, friend. So in the counsels of Jehovah, well, that was their truth that you have been, we call by the Spirit of God, instructed, and truths that you have heard. And we do not intend to speak at length concerning them. They are exceedingly precious, exceedingly vital, exceedingly sweet, and exceedingly sacred, chosen of God, chosen in infinite wisdom, chosen in infinite love, chosen in infinite grace, that which he willingly, lovingly, and voluntarily undertook in the redemption of his people, poor, lost, ruined, helpless sinners. Chosen of God and precious. He was, of course, ever precious. But to his Father, he was co-equal, of course, as with the blessed person of God, the Holy Spirit, who equal, but in a very sacred sense, in him taking into union with his divine nature, our nature, in the sacred mystery of it, how God Jehovah declares in the Gospel, at his baptism and on other occasions, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Lord Jesus would say that I do always those things that please him. And first of all, we desire as how to speak of the sacred office that he was chosen unto, to become man, in union, of course, with deity, a sacred mystery, a glorious truth. And if, dear friends, you know anything of Sinai's bondage, condemnation, if you do, behind you, there'll be a looking, and that in times by time, to the one whom God hath chosen, to the one who is ever, from all eternity, and will be to all eternity, ever precious in the Father's sight. Now, the Lord says, Jehovah, in the voice of prophecy, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold. Behold my servant." Unless we should wrongly quote that tremendous declaration of the Lord Jehovah says by his servant, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged." And my friend, your everlasting welfare hangs upon that glorious truth. But it was impossible for him to fail. He was God. He was God as well as man. And we desire to have just a look a little into that precious aspect of this word and truth, first of all. And when the eye of faith is graciously exercised, there is something exceedingly precious, you know, in the person of the Lord Jesus, taking our nature, in union with deity, and coming into this world of sin and sorrow, grief and pain. He was chosen of God to be Jehovah's servant. It is a teaching that is very sacred, very tender, and very touching. It is my prayer. It manifests the love of God to sinners in such a sweet and sacred way, man. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, the sacred mystery, one of the glorious grounds and pillars of our most holy faith. And as he willingly fulfills to its utmost detail that sacred office that the Father appointed him unto, and that from all eternity, he says, his delights were with the sons of men. And now, why was this necessary? Well, perhaps none can answer but God alone. Where had sin brought every one of Adam's posterity to? A complete, utter, and without saving grace, endless ruin. It was so, my dear friends, it was so. And that applies to you, that applies to me, that applies to each, and that applies to all. As in Adam, all died. And those were made alive. The two heads of sin, those were made alive. Nothing to do with universal redemption, certainly not. But all who are made alive in Christ and in him alone, saving and spiritual. And I to keep the may the Lord help us to confine our thoughts, so to speak, concerning this a gracious and blessed truth, so vital and so important, that a body has so prepared me, does he not graciously declare, a body has so prepared me, all the wonder of the blessings that is the church, and there is no difference, my friend, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, sin has separated us all from God. God cannot look upon sin, and the sinner as such in his sin, God cannot look at. He is holy, my dear friends. He is holy, he is pure. Oh, that we might from time to time be made more aware of the holiness, the righteousness, and the justice of that God whom we all have sinned against, brought under the law in condemnation. About the Lord Jesus came, did he not, to fulfill that law? He came to bring in an everlasting righteousness. He came to bring in a holy, pure, spotless obedience. Oh, he's precious in this. Oh, my friend, he's precious in this. He is. And as every thought, every word, and every action, so to speak, were part of that great and glorious and wondrous sacrifice whereby he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Did. Now you need, do we not, the Spirit of God to graciously and blessed they apply these sacred truths to our soul. We hear them about all men, Spirit of God, apply. And as the Lord Jesus comes, as the servant of Jehovah, but to do his will, but to fulfill the law, but to make it honourable, and every jot and tittle to the utmost he fulfilled in his sacred humanity. Yes, in his sacred humanity. In doing such contradiction of sinners against himself, and that went about doing good. And so he was chosen of God to that solemn yet blessed office of Jehovah's servant. He did not fail. Have you some evidence, dear friend, in your soul as to the truth that he did not fail? Have you had from time to time, maybe, when he plagued with sin, a cast down, distressed, and full of fear, have had some sweet and blessed experience of the truth of this, that the Lord Jesus Christ came, and in his sacred humanity, in union with his deity, that came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself and all the gracious steps that are displayed in that which he undertook, chosen of God from all eternity. God saw his people ruined in the fall. God the Son saw them ruined completely and absolutely. And the blessed person of God, the Spirit, likewise. And yet, he comes. He comes. Well, is he precious in his sacred humanity, in union with deity, as Jehovah's servant? Is he precious in prayer to you? As the Spirit of God, favored you? As we read concerning those in the old dispensation who were afflicted, tormented, and destitute, we read that all that have been a little sweet to my soul, they sought him who is invisible. All who have a glimpse, my friend, of the dear Son of God standing in our wretched, ruined place. Sin, our sin, that's it, imputed to him. The weight of all the sins of the church, yes. But what about your sin? What about mine? If you haven't been brought there, dear one, is that where you want to come? Is that where you earnestly seek the Lord in time to bring you, and to feel, and to realize that he had put away your sin? He was chosen of God to that a sacred and divine office as a servant of Jehovah, chosen in the councils of eternity, willing and lovingly comes in time all the beautiful details that surround it that we cannot go into, because there are one or two other offices we desire to speak about. This is so precious, friend. Have you entered a little in times into what the hymn writer says? Till God in human flesh I'm seen, my thoughts no comfort find, the holy, just, and sacred three are terrors to my mind. But let Emmanuel appear, God with us. That will raise a poor sinner. As hope, it will, when seen by faith, and seen by faith, what he came to do, and only, my friend, that can we understand, and I use that word with care and discernment, it is by faith alone of that we must come to Calvary, by precious faith. He is the propitiation for our sin. Above hand at the Spirit of God speaks of the appropriating, that propitiation before sin that he made by faith. By faith, dear friend. Oh, we need a little gracious and godly increased faith in it. Faith to behold the Lamb of God. Faith to behold him. Faith to behold him. In their sense. God, faith to behold him. Do you ever have to cry the language of the vehicle? Conduct, bless God, thy sinner tried. But to Calvary where the Lamb was slain, that bless God is God the Holy Spirit. Ah, dear friend, that will break the hardest heart. That will soften the spirit and melt into contrition as nothing else can do. There's nothing else to do to be brought in times of to some little measure. All these things that we speak with discernment are only in measure. It may be that some of you have longed for this for a long time, for many years. There is a wonderful word you have of gracious encouragement to such a in the 32nd Psalm, we do love to refer to, for thee shall everyone that is godly pray. What is that for? Oh, that they might know the Holy Spirit's divine testament in their conscience, that he shed his precious blood to put away their sin. All you need grace in the Spirit's divine name to speak of you solid yet blessed truths. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, and how he was upheld in such a gracious way and manner until that time when he was made sin for us. We could be, we are often tried about the fellow believer, fellow sinner. So are you, I doubt not. Often tried about it. Whether then works in all their tremendous import applies to you, applies to me. May sin for us a new sin. We would not use the language of Scripture without some feeling and some hope of their application to our cases. But in that solemn time, Jehovah, who upheld him, turned from him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? I believe it is the sum of you. One humble prayer would be that there you pass from time to eternity. It may be so with each that the Lord alone knows. And so, justice was fully satisfied. Was it not? The law completely honored. And how the Lord speaks, you know, of the sword of divine justice. So, being unsheathed and the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the one, the sacred person of thy good soul, of thy good soul. Well, my dear friends, on the authority of God's word and faithful to the truth, that it will either be with you and me about the sword of divine justice, so to speak, will rest upon us forever, or on our behalf, upon the sacred person who satisfied to the utmost of all the demands of infinite justice. And that was why he was chosen in God's appointed time to be raised from the dead. Another of glorious and gracious acts of the state of the wondrous Trinity, we read that he was raised by the power of God, by his own power, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that death could not hold him. What does that mean, dear friend, to you and to me? Risen again, risen again, chosen to ascend the courts of heaven as a glorious conqueror, to take that place of the highest dignity and the fullest authority at the right hand of the Father. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Chosen of God and precious in all that he undertook, in all that he fully and completely accomplished. Well, my friend, that's our only hope. There's no other hope, no other way, no other name given under heaven amongst men. And although you may feel in times your sins as black and your heart convicted and condemned, my dear friend, that's the only hope. There's a lot of hope chosen of God. And we want to speak also of one or two other of his sacred offices. Of course, there are many. Indeed, the whole gospel is contained, so to speak, the truth of the gospel in these words. They most surely are chosen of God and precious. Now I want to speak also of the Lord Jesus Christ as a great and glorious head of the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He was chosen of God to be the great and glorious head of the church. And he is in breath. There is a very tender and searching word, full of gracious instruction, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as a head. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Colossians, had occasion to solemnly warn and rebuke some of Colossae who had turned to worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That were an error that was creeping in, and this is what he says, and not holding the head, from which all the body, that's the church, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered. Now, that's a very blessed and sacred word, and most surely, unless by divine grace, we are helped to hold the head, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, all of our begins, so to speak, from a wrong conception of his glorious person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a great head of the church. And that's been so through the ages. And if you could, when you sang that beautiful hymn, that you just feel something of the truth of it, in its gracious reality and blessed experience, that Christ be precious to you, you will want it to be the head. And in your little nature, you will desire that he might in all things have the preeminence. Continuing upon this truth, we read that the body having nourishment ministered. Now, what a gracious word of instruction that is. Now, alone do we really have spiritual nourishment, but through Christ do we not? There's nothing in this vain, empty, passing world that can nourish your soul. And the Lord knows all about your case. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case. He was chosen to be the head. You have a peculiar case. We all have a peculiar case. We have a peculiar pathway. If we're the Lord's people, we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And it is a path that no plough will know. It is a path that the lion's wealth does not pass over. But be assured, my friend, that Jesus, the glorious head of grace, he knows. He knows. And that nourishes you. Is that what your soul sometimes a desire and long and thirst for? Upon that nourishment. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? It is often naturally associated with sickness, isn't it? Not always, but it is in times. And when one is a sickly, weak and poorly, it is often referred to as having nourishment ministered. And dear friend, what a beautiful time, isn't it? Don't you often feel a poor, sickly soul, dry, cold, hard, indifferent, unfeeling? You would love him, and you would walk tenderly before him. You would know more of his rights. About we only experience of spiritual blessings and favours as that gracious and granted. And dear spiritual here, do you feel the need of this nourishment in your soul? We read, of course, in the verse previous, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, of course, the very searching word, if so be that ye have tasted, a spiritual nourishment can only be really known, felt, and appreciated as it is tasted, can it be? That nourishment that comes to a poor, dry, helpless, weak, and sickly sinner from their glorious head of grace, who knows their peculiar need, their peculiar case. A little lifting up. I am persuaded, my friends, and if not forsaken, if not to mistaken, have proved that a single smile from Jesus here will lift a drooping soul to heaven. Will? Yes, he is a head. It's a beautiful title, isn't it? And naturally, the head is so vital to every organ and member of our body. And it is used of the church. Now I would ask you lovingly, but yet in all solemnity, what do you know, what do I know of this spiritual nourishment in our soul? That alone, dear friend, is that which satisfies the desire of a living soul. Just a taste of it, and faith to assimilate, so to speak, spiritually. Oh, do you want reality? We do need those things that are subject to decay, not subject to a passing, so to speak. I do not mean that in the sense that we always feel this. Perhaps we rarely do. Oh, I have been in times deeply searched. And doubtless, You have to. Of those words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, that except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. What a solemn word it is, isn't it? Perhaps it comes so mysteriously to you. Perhaps you feel that you've never been brought there. Of course, it means surgery, of course. But they're his words. They're not my words, dear. They're his own words. And I do not fear to say that every living soul, from time to time, are deeply troubled as to the solemn reality and the truth in a gracious experience of what he says. Oh, that we might be brought in times that last. I hunger and I thirst. Jesus, my man of thee. Oh, living water burst out of the rock for me. He was chosen of God in the councils of eternity to live sacred and divine appointed, and he was anointed for it. Make no mistake about it, dear friend. No mistake about it. Nourishment means. You know. And then some milk for babies, isn't it? Oh, I do love that. The precious truth. Milk for babies. There's strong meat, though. Perhaps we never came for that. But nevertheless, if we had from time to time that nourishment ministered of what and of which the Holy Spirit by the Apostle speaks, that was lacking with some at Colossae. And so that is received out of that which the Holy Spirit speaks, that it hath pleased the Father, that in him should all fullness lie. Now that again might good search your heart and cause your measure of anxiety because you feel your poverty, your emptiness, about an empty vessel, be it what it may, not speaking spiritually, but just literally, an empty vessel. Well, of course, it is in a position and condition when empty to have that which it is appointed for, poured or put into. Dear one, don't be distressed if you're empty. Perhaps you come to this sanctuary this night feeling your emptiness, your poverty, your barrenness. May the Lord, by his Spirit of grace, enable you to look thy faith to the one in whom it pleased the Father, should this spiritual fullness, which alone will revive and refresh the drooping soul, and how it speaks of all the church of body. Our needs are different, aren't they? But they meet there. They meet there, my dear fellow sinner, they do. Where he is the head, chosen of God, and now exalted at the right hand of the Father. And what a precious truth that he was in divine appointment, chosen of God to be the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Is he precious to your soul in time, sir, in that divine appointment and sacred office as a mediator? Do you feel the need? A mediator, you will and do, my friend, if Moses, with his wit, have had dealings with you, you will be one, a mediator between God and man, and how the Holy Spirit describes it, the man Christ Jesus, the man, by divine appointment, by sacred and sovereign anointment. Have you proved sometimes, you know, the truth of this in your pathway? that there is a mediator, that there is a great high priest over the house of God, and that he is a merciful and a tender high priest. And sometimes you can say, concerning these divine offices and sacred appointments, that Christ is God, I can avouch, and for his people cares, since I have prayed for him as such, and he has heard my prayers. That's how we know, in a gracious experience, because we can have no dealings with God but through Christ, because our God outside of Christ is a consumed fire, but he is appointed and chosen of God in the counsels of eternity, but to be the mediator, the great high priest, a merciful and a tender high priest. It's profitable, my friend, but to be the exhortation that the apostle gives, but consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. My friend, it's a glorious truth. It's a blessed truth. It's not a dry breath to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. And may you not, may I not be left in a profession of religion of which the Lord Jesus Christ is not the high priest of, not to continue concerning his divine appointment as a mediator. Isn't it very precious? And every poor crying child of God in times cruel, the sacred and sweet reality of this, because he was chosen of God to be the mediator. Have you sometimes felt a little sweetness in drawing near? May not have used any words at all, but I have felt a little of what it is to be made nigh by the blood of Christ, the mediator. He was entered into the holiest by his own blood. All to the holy place. He entered in there to appear in the presence of God for us. I do love what dear Job says. He speaks of the Lord Jesus as a day's name. Well, of course, that is again another divine appointment. And Job, at that particular time in his pathway, couldn't feel the sacred reality and the gracious experience of the Lord Jesus as a day's name. But he speaks in this way, so full of gracious truth. One who laid his hand upon us through. All the infinite holiness, justice required, lay his hand. I do always the things that please me to lay his hand upon the poor, dry, coming sinner. The divine appointment, chosen of God. Chosen of God. And in all these things, my dear friend, his work was perfect. That's our hope, that's the ground of our hope. Nothing that we have done, no, but what Christ has done. And the word that says, unto you therefore, of which believe, he is precious. Well, if we realize that we scarcely touch such a weighty and precious matter and glorious truth, but can you sometimes feel the truth of what the Holy Spirit says?